Hi, I'm Luca and this is Non Academy. Today is going to be more difficult and more challenging because you have to speak in English. Our guest today is a great professionista and a great person and my English teacher. So welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Luca.
I have many questions, so let's start with the first one. Can you introduce yourself? Where are you from? Where are you doing? What are you doing here? The stage is yours.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Luca, for having me here to speak with you today. You know, I have to say, I really admire your Non-Academy project. It's very forward-thinking, and, you know, I really appreciate new projects that focus on the future and innovation, but especially at a local level. So to introduce myself, my name is Jennifer Hill. I am from the United States. I grew up in a very small village in Vermont, not very far from the Canadian border. I think there are probably more cows in Vermont than people. It's a very, very rural state. And I studied business during university, and then worked for several years in hospitality. Then I went back to school and studied law, where I met my Nonozo husband. When he came to the United States, and because he was studying also law at the University of Trento, we ended up in New York City, and I worked at a large law firm there for several years. It was a really amazing experience for someone from a small town, but it was a very difficult and stressful job. And I was not sad to leave it, I'd have to admit. So, you know, we had decided while we were still living in New York that after our first daughter was born that we did not want to live in the city. So we decided to move to Val di Non, and we went from the Big Apple to the Valley of Apples.
That's a nice slogan. I don't know, Big Apple, from the Big Apple to the Valley of Apples. So super nice. No, wow, that must have been a very big change. So what do you do now? How do you like working and living here in Val di Non and Braids?
Well, I love living and working here. I'm now actually teaching English, and I am lucky enough to have found a second career that I really love and I'm passionate about. Before moving here, I knew that I probably wouldn't be able to practice law, American law, which is a different system here in Val di Non. So I started doing trainings while I was in New York to teach English through Cambridge. And so I moved here and I had a baby daughter, and then 2 years later, another daughter. And it was a little bit difficult to travel to places like Bolzano or Trento to teach. I did teach some here in Val di Non, which I just loved doing, but found the hours, you know, were mostly in the evenings. And so that was a bit difficult. So then I found this job teaching online to students in China. So over the years, I've taught thousands of hours of one-to-one classes to students in China. And little did I know how much that online teaching experience would prepare me for what happened this year with the pandemic, where everything has moved online. But, you know, before the pandemic, my daughter's, you know, grown a bit older, and I was able to expand my teaching to companies in Bolzano, the University of Bolzano. Right now, I'm actually teaching at Liceo da Vinci in Trento. And in fact, until yesterday, I hadn't actually met any of my students. I'd only met them online. But yesterday, I got to meet two classes in person in Trento, which was truly lovely. So yesterday was a very special day. And I also work with Museon, the Contemporary Art Museum in Bolzano, where I lead tours for English students of all ages. So from, you know, maybe elementary school, primary school, all the way up through university. And we use the art as a basis for communicating in English. And it's really fun. And I love helping students work towards reaching their goals. And I really hope in the future to do more of that here in Valdinon, especially with young people, because I, you know, really want people to help people reach their full potential, I guess.
Super, and I hope to be a young people for you. So.
Absolutely.
No, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much, because yeah, you are the proof that it's possible to living here and working all around the world with just a connection. So working with China students, for example, it's a great example, and it's nice to listen to this beautiful story. So thank you again. So another question, sorry, I have many notes on my sheet. So what do you think about education, and what do you think about international education? What do you think about language education? I don't know if the question is clear, but yes, I would like to ask you about the importance of a language education, an international education also here.
Okay. Well, I think in general, education and learning are just incredibly important. No matter what we do for jobs, there's always something new to learn. Education has certainly played a very important role in my life. I really love to learn. You know, in my free time, you know, I'll listen to podcasts about economics or politics, current events. I love attending webinars to learn something new, and I actually now plan webinars for English teachers. For over a year now, I've been working on a type of master's, the Cambridge Delta, and I've been reading stacks of books and writing essays and doing research reports. I had to take a huge exam last summer, and I've even had expert teachers come to watch me. And you know, this experience of being a student again, and plus working and being a mom, has been really challenging, but also, you know, makes me, I think, a better teacher, because I can understand students and what they're going through a lot more. And, you know, also, you know, my excitement of learning something new, I think, carries into my teaching, because I'm really enthusiastic about learning and helping others learn. And, you know, Luca, of course, I know you a bit, and I know that, you know, you've worked abroad and you've lived abroad, and that in your experience too, that education opens our eyes to ideas or ways of doing things we wouldn't have encountered before, and helps us connect with other people and open us to new possibilities we never would have considered. And I'm really sad, you know, a few weeks ago with Brexit, to see the opportunities for Erasmus in the UK end. I really hope that some program will replace that, because language education, you know, is really important, and I, you know, it's wonderful to have that opportunity to go abroad and, you know, be immersed in the language. But I also think that students need to feel comfortable and safe about making mistakes, because I think we learn a lot from our mistakes. I know I do. And, you know, and you know, being, you know, that experience of going abroad, you get exposed to real authentic materials, which is something that, you know, I certainly try to do in my lessons. You know, I like to give students materials that are relevant to their lives and what's going on in the world. And, you know, and I think it's the whole point of languages is communication. So getting students to communicate as much as possible, I think, is the best way to learn, really.
Yeah, super, yeah. Super. Yeah, I agree, of course. This is the only, the best vision, in my opinion. So Thank you, Jennifer. If I can now, I would like to move on a private things. So I would like to ask you some personal story. I love your attitude about sending your kids to Alto Adige and raising with German, English, Italian and dialect inputs. So I really love this story. So can you tell us something about the languages in your family and this approach?
Oh, absolutely. Well, after living in New York City for several years, my husband and I really started to appreciate the fact that we grew up, both of us, in small villages. And so we decided after our first daughter was born that we would move to Val di Non, and that Val di Non was really a perfect place to raise a multilingual family, because here we're on the border with Alto Adige. And we send our girls to one of the German villages here in Val di Non for school. And so, you know, our daughters aren't, it's not just for the language, you know, they aren't just getting a multilingual upbringing, but also a multicultural one, which is something I really appreciate. And we have an interesting mix of languages in our home. For example, during a typical dinner, one of my daughters might say something to me in English, then repeat the same thing to my husband in Italian. Then they might say something to each other in German. We have a lot of conversations about how words are similar in one language and different in another language. And it's so fun to watch them experiment with languages and mix them and even make, you know, jokes based on the languages. And you know, all of this is also sprinkled with a bit of Nonozo also. So it's really quite fun. We know other families throughout Northern Italy, you know, that are multilingual, and we often spend Thanksgivings, you know, the American holiday with turkey, with some other families, and it's really fun to watch the children switch back and forth between three different languages. And so our family is also involved a bit in tourism. And so because the girls speak different languages, you know, depending on who the guests are that week, they might play with some children from the Netherlands one week in English. And then the next week we might have dinner with a German family, and they speak to the dog in German, and they even help us translate sometimes. So helps us too that they speak German. And you know, we really think that by having them speak different languages, in the future they'll have more opportunities for education, for work, for friendships, but not necessarily outside of Val di Non, but here in Val di Non, because you know, they can work in international commerce, they could create a new business, they could work in tourism without leaving. So that's kind of our hope.
No, thank you. Yeah, I can imagine only one way to imagine our future, because the multilingual and multicultural approach is the only way to grow up new generation, in my opinion. So this is the present and the future of our little girl and little boys. So I strongly believe in this. So yeah, thank you for your story. And let's stay on languages field. So how important is in your opinion to develop languages in terms of connecting the world? How helpful could be this approach for our valley in terms, for example, of tourism, business economy, education, stuff? So how languages can help our rebuild?
Okay. I have a lot of ideas here. So, okay, I'll try not to speak too long about this. Well,
no,
to
you
begin
are free,
with...
You are free to speak because normally, normally in Italian I tend to over-talk, so now in English it's a bit more difficult, so you have all the time.
Okay. To begin with, so English is the, you know, the lingua franca of business and commerce. So if a business person from Japan is speaking to someone from Peru, they're probably going to speak in English. And it's also important for tourism because English is the second language of many people throughout the world, or third or fourth language even. And then in terms of educational opportunities, languages can help us study abroad, and not necessarily in just English-speaking countries, but many universities throughout the world offer programs in English. In fact, people from all over the world can now come to Trento and earn a degree in law entirely in English. So it really does open opportunities for education. And then once we're working, we can attend webinars, we can learn new things, we can attend conferences in person. I can't wait to attend an in-person conference once again, you know, in our fields. And, you know, here in Val di Non, apple growing is very important. So apple growers or people involved in the industry, if they speak English, if they go to Interpoma, they can speak to other people throughout the world that are involved in apple growing. And then some of the economic benefits of studying English is the ability to go and work outside of Italy, to gain experience outside of Italy, and then bring it back, bring that experience and those things learned back to Italy. And, you know, we hope, of course, our young people come back to Val di Non with that valuable experience. Speaking other languages helps us sell our products abroad, and also services. Now, with this increase in smart working, people have the opportunity to work from anywhere in the world, doing many things we wouldn't have imagined possible before. I guess maybe an extreme example of that is, you know, someone who works for Google instead of working at an office in Silicon Valley could come here to Val di Non, I mean, in theory, and work from right here in Non Valley. We could be the new Silicon Valley. And then, of course, there's
that's the main maybe. Idea.
That would be nice. We'll see. And then, of course, you know, tourism is also a really important economic driver in our valley. And, of course, languages help us attract people, help us advertise. But beyond that, especially English, just because many people speak English, it gives us an opportunity to give our guests really interesting experiences if we can communicate with them. I don't think we can underestimate how interesting it is for visitors to get a guided tour of an apple orchard or learn about how cheese is made out of malga. And these are just the types of experiences that give visitors a window into the lives of people here and the culture. And it's these stories that I believe, it's these type of stories that I take home when I return from a trip. And it's the type of story that people will share with their friends, and I think makes their trip so memorable. And then, of course, the personal benefits of friendships and travel and connecting with other cultures and enjoying books and movies in other languages. These are all very interesting things. Languages also help us understand our own culture from the perspective of another culture or through, you know, the filter of another language. And I think it really helps us appreciate our own cultural identity and how we fit into the world around us. And, you know, given what has been happening in the world around us and in the news recently, you know, it's really important to build bridges and to understand other people now more than ever, I think. So I love working with students here in Val d'Inan, a place that I now call home, because I enjoy sharing my culture and my language, but also learning more about the cultural identities of the Nonazi. So, yeah, it's interesting. You know, going back to that idea of friendships, you know, before the pandemic, I was working here at my computer, sitting in front of my computer in Brits, teaching students sitting in front of a computer in Beijing, Pekino. And, you know, I was working from home, which was really great, you know, with people in China. But it wasn't just about the work. It was also about forming friendships with students and their families. And I would say around February or March last year, I had one student in China who I really bonded with over a shared love of Star Wars, actually. And she heard that here in Italy, we did not have enough masks. And she, and with the help of her parents, sent me quite a few masks from China, which was, you know, it meant so much. And these are the kinds of friendships I think that we can make when we speak other languages. You know, this pandemic has really opened my eyes even more to the possibilities and the potential of smart working and connecting with people through technology and what it is that we can do locally online here in Trentino and Val d'Inan. You know, I think a lot, especially now that I'm a mom, I think a lot about, you know, education and the future. And, you know, in the past, young people, you know, my husband, you know, myself, you, Luca, you know, we're all from small villages and we moved to cities in order to do certain jobs. This happens where I'm from in Vermont, as well as here in Val d'Inan. But, you know, increasingly people have been working remotely through smart working. And because of this pandemic, I really believe that this is going to be even more of a possibility now. And that people living here in Val d'Inan have the potential of working at jobs all over the world, but remaining here. And of course, you know, entrepreneurs have access to clients all over the world. And then, you know, going back to this idea of tourism, you know, we really have the potential to attract people from throughout the world who might not ever go back to the office. You know, this idea of a digital nomad has been around for a while, but I think, you know, once we're all able to travel again, people are going to be very enthusiastic about traveling. And I do think we'll see more digital nomads working in the future. In fact, during, I guess it was September and October, we had a German couple who stayed in one of our apartments for over a month and worked here remotely. You know, they had really nice jobs, very good jobs, you know, before the pandemic, probably worked some in the office, some at home. And they came here, they worked their normal long hours. But then at the end of the day and on the weekends, they use their free time to explore our valley and you know, experience life in a different place. unfortunately, this is where I might get a little slightly negative. Unfortunately, here in the valley, we do have a bit of a problem with the infrastructure. The internet here, unfortunately, isn't very stable. It's not always, very fast. And, you know, if we want to attract this type of digital nomad and we want to be able to do this smart working, the Fibra would be really helpful. You know, even if we just had some co-working spaces here in Val d'Inon, maybe in Clis, with the Fibra, you know, that could be a good start. That couple that came during the autumn, the German couple, I was worried for a little while that we might lose them because of the internet situation. And for one important meeting, one of them actually went to a hotel outside of Trentino to make sure that the internet was fully functioning. So, you know, this could be a start, a co-working space, because I could have sent them there if we'd had that as a backup. You know, and in here, you know, I've tried two different internet companies, but I still have two mobile Wi-Fi backups just in case, because, you know, if I teach online and I lose, you know, the connection for a bit, you know, we can pick it up. But if I'm organizing and running a webinar with an international audience, you know, that really fast, stable connection is especially important. So I mean, I've shared a lot of ideas, and you know, I think these are really, truly things that could happen, but at the moment we don't have the infrastructure to support this kind of innovative smart working, I guess. And you know, I really think we have a big opportunity here, because you know, this pandemic has created a huge disruption in how we do things, but disruption breeds innovation. I really hope, Luca, that with your project of Non Academy and this focus on knowledge, education, and innovation, you and those that take part in Non Academy will be able to seize on this opportunity and create a lot of innovation. Sorry, I didn't mean to speak for so long.
No, thank you. No, thank you very much, Jennifer. Thank you very much. I love your approach, and I really like your analysis. Yeah, we are living in the best place to restart, because we have in our garden fresh air, clean water, spaces. So with a little bit more investment in infrastructure, in connection, we can really to be the new Silicon Valley. So I strongly believe in that. So thank you very much. Yes. I really hope to work with you and with your vision in that direction, of course, and develop local identity, develop personal conviction in a global system. So living local and at the same time be global. So,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, knowledge, education are the first step to rebuild our world. So
yes.
So no, thank you very much. Sorry for my English. I try to.
No, oh, you know, Luca, I have to say, you know, it's difficult to do things in a second language, and I really admire your willingness to do this. So
no, as you know, everyone sometimes speaks about the importance of English or in other languages, but in Italian, so it's more easier to say tu devi parlare inglese, but yeah, it's more difficult to try to push on this and speak in English. So thank you very much. Sorry for my Italian pronunciation, macaronic. I try to no. to push on this in the next weeks with you. So thank you very much.
Sounds
really
great.
And nothing. We have to work a lot. So I really hope to start with this Non Academy to change something. So thank you for your help.
And thank you for your work, Luca.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. Ciao.
Goodbye.